9:58, and coming up at 10:15, Flashpoints is off today. Instead, we'll hear letters in politics. Gay Muslim filmmaker Parvez Sharma shares his thoughts on Sunday's massacre. Then constitutional scholar David Cole addresses the history of Florida's gun laws. And at 11, Stage and Studio presents a documentary produced by David Freudberg, telling the moving story of Tucker Stilley, who in his early 40s was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, a degenerative condition that leads to paralysis and frequently claims the patient's life. And at 11:30, Andre Middleton hosts Art Focus. His guests are local artists Mia O'Connor and Natalie Figueroa. Stay tuned for Air Cascadia with host Chris Andre following this.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Green Day's American Idiot, produced by Triangle Productions. Don't wanna be an American idiot. The two-time Tony Award-winning hit follows Johnny, Toonie, and Will as they flee the constraints of their hometown for the thrills of the city life in this energy-filled rock opera. That's American Idiot, June 9th through July 2nd at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. One nation controlled by the media, information age of hysteria, it's going out to idiot America.
Tune in Thursday, June 16th at 10 p.m. for another special live remote broadcast from What the Festival at the Wolf Run Ranch. Once again, we'll be showcasing the musical and visual artists at this year's festival with interviews, music, and interactions with the producers and the participants, exploring what makes this such a uniquely immersive and entertaining festival. Again, be sure to tune in on Thursday, June 16th at 10 p.m. for our What the Festival broadcast. More information can be found on the KBOO website under Community Events. Check it out, baby.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Debtors Assembly in St. John's, Tuesday, June 21st at 4 p.m. under the bridge at Cathedral Park in Portland. Strike Debt is a nationwide movement of debt resistors fighting for economic justice and democratic freedom. This event also features a Strike Debt Portland potluck. Again, that's the Debtors Assembly in St. John's, Tuesday, June 21st, 4 to 7 p.m. at Cathedral Park in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, June 14th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real radio for real people at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Before we speak with our guest, first a brief run through the weather. Today, showers, thunderstorms possible later in the day, and highs around 60, and a southwest wind 9 to 11. Tonight, again, exactly the same thing. There'll be a little bit of drizzle just to put you in the mood, and then bam-o, possibly a thunderstorm. Everybody, let's just hope for that to happen. It's certainly something we need. I need, let's say it that way. Lows around 46. and a southwest wind 6 to 11. Tomorrow, look for a slight chance of rain, and otherwise you could get a bit of sun breaking through and a high near 63, not much in the way of wind, and for tomorrow night, that chance of showers tapering off, otherwise overcast and low around 48, and again, 6 to 11 mile per hour winds. That's about it for the weather. We have some updates and some big news from Coos County, from Coos Bay. Jody McCaffrey will be talking a bit about developments in the struggle to prevent any development at Jordan Cove, any terminals. It is every aspect of the Jordan Cove terminal is full of difficulties and possible illegalities from the super tankers that would be coming into the bay, from the Pacific Connector pipelines, and as well as trucks and so forth coming in. The building, the additional stress on the carrying capacity of the land. And now, of course, OSHA, if any trains are involved, the OSHA problems are going to crop up. Jody, and we're also going to be speaking today. We tried yesterday to speak with Charlotte Nielsen and Hilo Hancock with the Coeur d'Alene, people who have made this massively big, beautiful canoe, and they're bringing it down the river. This is all in the name of doing something on behalf of salmon above Grand Coulee Dam. Google Grand Coulee Dam and see what it looks like if you don't already have a mental image. It is a massive, massive thing sitting in the middle of the landscape, visible from space. In fact, looks like it was built by something from space, and we never speak about it. Hopefully it's too big to fail, and we all know where that got us. So we'll be speaking with people who are in a canoe that is in the name of restoring habitat to the people and the creatures of the region. And now we speak with Jody McCaffrey. Good morning, Jody, and welcome back once again to KBOO developments down there. I heard a story on as I flipped through various news sources on the radio, the so-called I guess public radio mainstream announced that activism and pressure from the anti-LNG camp is what prompted officials to extend a deadline. And that's not, however, the story that you heard.
Yes, the notice that I was given was that they wanted, the Department of State Lands wanted more time to consider these outstanding issues they had with wetland delineation for the pipeline, fish passage for pipeline crossings, and wetland and waterway impacts and mitigation. I kind of think that because they're extending it, you know, to pass the election, they don't want this decision influencing or having an influence with the election. So, That's my take on it, because I think they have enough evidence right now to deny this permit. There's no question that Jordan Cove doesn't meet the criteria, but I don't know how they'll get around that. You know, I'm sure that the industry will try to mitigate or do something to explain how they can, you know, justify their project. But it's still, there's rules, and if you don't fit the rules, you shouldn't be given a permit. That's the bottom line, but that isn't the way that we've had to process our permits. The rules seem clear to us, but somehow, you know, when the money gets involved, the rules kind of get skirted around, or they find some reasoning to say that they can do that anyway.
Well, all these projects it seems that all of the projects are launched on the understanding that whatever laws, existing law prevents the whatever the construction of this thing, that those will be, in the end, that there will be a way around. Those laws will be obliterated or changed in on behalf of the corporate interests. So we've got foreign companies building a terminal that would not in any way benefit Americans. The natural gas would be shipped overseas, so it's no benefit whatsoever, coming or going. And it is at a great, great risk, because there is wetland delineation for the pipeline. Okay, that's subtle and it's complex. There are wetland, the whole length of the pipeline is riddled with wetlands. Secondly, fish passage for pipeline crossing, because there's no way that can happen successfully. It just is not possible without building a huge network of roads and so forth to support fish crossings. And the impacts and mitigation with regard to the wetland and the waterway, they are not feasible. So none of this is possible. We do have existing laws, but it seems that they're just waiting for the Trans-Pacific Partnership to pass, which would give these Star Chamber courts the right to issue the permits. Can you talk a bit more about some of the meetings coming up and what this extra time is going to, how this is going to be used?
Well, we just got notification that on July 8th at 1 p.m. in the North Bend, there's going to be a hearing on the Jordan Cove man camp. That's they're saying that it's a worker camp that's not related to Jordan Cove. That's how they're saying they're justifying processing this. We appealed this. It was a planning decision that 32 citizens appealed in October. And it's gone through a process, but now it's going to be a hearing before a hearings officer the July 8th. And we could absolutely use people looking at the record and adding comments and attending that hearing. That would be great. It's kind of like, I don't really understand this, because what FERC issued was, they issued an order that denied Jordan Cove. And the order is not stayed. In other words, it's not set aside why we process other permits. It's a final decision. Although FERC's kind of, you can comment to FERC and they'll kind of, those are going into a record. I don't know in the end if they'll accept those comments totally, but it seems crazy, because there's a IEA report that just came out that clearly showed there's no market. There's no market. There's all these projects that are under construction that'll be coming online in the next 5 years, and they're going to be adding like a 45% increase in liquefaction capacity and at the same time the market has kind of weakened, especially for Japan and Korea. They're not using as much gas, not as much as they predicted, so there's this glut of LNG. So why would you come to Oregon and build a terminal, a 232-mile pipeline through 400 water bodies, all this destruction for a project that really isn't needed?
Again,
and
400
to be needed.
400 water bodies.
Yeah.
That's these are numbers that I don't think the public and even some of our listeners is very difficult to really comprehend what this project means. And again, it's been soundly rejected all up and down the coast, Mexico, California, Washington. Oregon is the only state left where the officials are even contemplating permitting this thing. That's what is troubling to me. It seems that Oregon's green image is not upheld by the facts of the matter. That's, again, something that I wonder if...
I think it's sold as jobs, but people need to understand, when you go start being destructive to salmon-bearing streams and you start being destructive to our estuary that harms oyster companies, you're actually stifling jobs. You're actually causing detriment to jobs that are sustainable jobs. And in the end, this project is not the jobs people think it is. It's like 140 jobs, that's what they're saying. And that's like maybe a large grocery store. I mean, that's not the kind of jobs that is actually needed, and it's actually probably going to be a job negative if you consider all the negative jobs that will occur not just from the destruction of the water bodies in the estuary, but when you export our natural resource, you're going to cause the price of that to go up, and that's a negative to businesses that use natural gas. So it's a negative all the way around. I just don't understand the trade unions, you know, that are don't understand that it's not in the end a benefit to them.
And the other thing too, I wondered about. One final question is: in the case of these huge companies, Walmart notably, and others, they paid, you know, low paid jobs, very bad jobs, and the only reason that they're there at all is because they can't be outsourced, and yet all the profits do not accrue to the state. They are shipped out of state. Sometimes, and it's not in the case of Walmart, but in some cases, profits are shipped overseas or to Canada. So there is no net benefit to the state whatsoever. With regard to Jordan Cove, can you speak, just in the last few seconds, we have some of the companies involved and where they are headquartered?
You mean the company behind Jordan Cove?
Yes, there are a number of companies.
It's Veresen, which is a Canadian company, and at one time, I'm not sure currently, but you could not even invest in it unless you were Canadian. So this is not for Americans. This is for the whole purpose of Jordan Cove was to export Canadian gas because they had trouble building a pipeline up in Canada to get it, gas exported up there.
They didn't want to use Canadian shores, coastline for anything like this.
Right.
So, Jody, thank you so much. We are completely flat out of time. This is important. The reason why we talk about it so much is because it is terribly important to all of us. If we call Cascadia our home, whether we are long-time residents, whether we're born here, or that we arrived last week. Nonetheless, this is Cascadia, and if you're here, then Jordan Cove is your issue. Thanks so much again, Jody. This has been Cascadia for Tuesday, June 14th, 2016. Engineering for us today, as every Tuesday, Janet Anderson. Thanks, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson. It's the KBOO AM News Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre.